So my name is Nathan. I am the transitional lead pastor here at The River, and welcome to week three of a series we are calling Before We Build. And the idea behind this series is that before we build the next era of The River, or even the next era of our lives, we have to make sure we are building on the right thing. So in week one, Lindsay talked about what happens when God's people stop building together. They're building good things, but they're all building their own things. And then last week, we talked about what happens when God begins to build something new in us. But we can't stop comparing it to what it used to be. And so you might be starting to see where Haggai and this series are going. We talked about priorities, check. We talked about expectations, check. And now we're ready to talk about the work itself, right? Okay, so with that in mind, let's go to Haggai 2:11. This is what the Lord says. Haggai, I need you to go ask the priest this question. If someone's carrying a piece of meat from a holy sacrifice in their pocket, and that pocket happens to touch like a loaf of bread or stew or wine or oil or really any other food, do these foods become made holy by such contact? And the priests are like, no. So Haggai's like, okay, another question. How about someone who's contaminated because they've been like playing with corpses? And that person touches some of this food up here. Does that food become contaminated? And the priests are like, yeah, of course, it's going to be contaminated. And if you read those verses, you heard those verses, and you found yourself thinking, what's that all about? Like, where does this whole thing fit into anything Haggai's been talking about, or we've been talking about this whole series? I want you to know, I had the exact same question. So I did what any pastor worth his salt would do. I looked it up. And the funny part is, I didn't actually use Google or AI. I did something that I very seldom do. So from my desk, I looked up, and in front of me on the shelf was one of these like really big, heavy, like paper things that they have at libraries. And so I cracked it open. Yeah, they still exist. So I cracked it open, and I got hair on my face. It was a commentary that someone from the staff had left in my office. And so with all my questions and curiosity, I opened it to the commentary on Haggai to find out, what is this all about? And I kid you not, here is the literal quote of what it says. The next section of this book contains a major puzzle. What was the pretext and subject that caused this question? And I'm like, I don't know. That's why I came to you. So with no help from the commentary whatsoever, I started over. I reread Haggai 2:11 through 13. And in my reread, here's what I noticed. This is a simple object lesson created out of two questions. So I'm going to rephrase them and let's see if we can figure out the answer together. Ready? Okay. First question, if you have nice, clean hands and you stick them in poo, do your hands make the poo clean or do you get poo hands? Okay, yeah, you get poo hands. So, second question, if you have poo on your hands and you shake hands with 100 people, do their clean hands make your poo hands clean, or do you have 100 people with poo hands? Okay, awesome. So everybody's got poo hands at this point. So with the poo hand idea down, Haggai can now continue. I think we get the idea. 2:14. So Haggai's like, all right, this is what God is saying. The people are contaminated. The nation is contaminated, declares the Lord. So whatever they do for me is also contaminated. God's saying, no, you are doing a good thing in building this temple. But you got poo on your hands. You're contaminated. And now what they're doing is, in building, they're getting their poo hands all over the temple. And to be clear, the poo hands thing is an analogy. Like, God is not talking about the state of their hands. He's talking about the state of their hearts. Because the poo hands concept is showing us a spiritual principle that a lot of us tend to forget. It's that whether we realize it or not, what is happening in us eventually spreads in the room to those around us. So you can think about it like smells. So if you've been working out and you've got like some funky BO going on, you don't have to announce it when you walk into the room. Like, we all know. And it's because BO doesn't stay neatly contained inside your shirt. Like, whether we mean it to or not, what's in you spreads into the space around you. Nice perfume works the same way. I worked at a couple of churches in Texas, and I can tell you that everything is bigger there, including the smells. So, like, ladies come in, they don't have to tell everybody they got a new perfume. We can all smell it. Because it moves beyond just you. And everybody else experiences it. And right now, we have an active example going on in this room. Out of curiosity, how many of you can smell bread? Like, now that you mention it, yeah, actually I can smell bread. All that smell is coming from three bread machines that are spread across this room. But it's impacting so many of you. And it's all from just like little tiny bread machines. So then the question becomes, really the question of the sermon, is before we build, what are you bringing into the room? Are you bringing perfume? Are you bringing BO? Jesus says it a little more subtly. This is Luke 6. He says, a good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from an evil heart. So what he's saying, what you say flows out from what is in your heart. He's saying the things in our heart don't stay hidden forever. What's inside of us eventually comes out in our words and our reactions and our relationships. So whether it's marriage or kids or friends or work or church, we have to understand that everything, we bring something into every room that we enter. Just like with those little bread machines, what is coming from the inside comes out of us and everyone can smell it. So whether you carry faith or you carry fear, eventually it affects how you hear and how you respond to people. Whether you're constantly looking at what's wrong or you're looking for God's goodness, it will affect what you see and what you point out to others and in others. We all have that influence, whether we mean to or not. So what are you bringing into the room? And that's why Haggai says, yes, yes, you are building the temple. But the building still has a smell to it. And that's why we have to understand changing our structures is not going to be enough. Like, believe me, I love structures, and they totally matter. But if the hearts of the people don't change, we end up carrying the same patterns into the new structure. So it'll look like a new thing, but it's going to have poo hands all over it. So what do we do about that? It's like, okay, good. How do I change? How do I change my heart? And our answer is often, well, we just got to try harder. And I think most of us have been there, done that. We've told ourselves, no, next time I'm going to be more patient. Oh, no, next time I'm not going to get defensive about that. Next time I'm not going to worry so much about what all those people think. And then the next time comes around And we find ourselves doing the exact same thing. Which is why Jesus gives us a bit of a different idea than just try harder. This is what he says in John 15. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus just lays it out. He is the vine. We are the branches. A branch does not produce fruit by trying like really, really hard. They produce fruit because they are connected to the vine. It's the vine that gives them life. So the answer isn't, we just got to work harder to get all nice and clean so then we can come to Jesus. No, no, Jesus comes to us. He makes us clean. And then he begins producing the new fruit in us if we remain in him. And that doesn't mean that we get to be passive. That we get to just say, all right, cool. God, do what you do. I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, quite the opposite. We have been learning to stay connected changes how we live. So when we are tempted to keep the peace, we actively choose to make peace. When we're afraid, well, they're going to be upset, we choose to follow God instead of allowing their fear to run our lives. When we're disappointed, we can get our way. We actively practice surrender instead of trying to bully everyone else into giving us what we want. And slowly, just like that bread, we become the kind of people whose presence brings a good smell. It brings a good fruit into the room because we are connected to the vine. So as we close today, I want to bring back the question from earlier. So whether we realize it or not, we are all bringing something into the room. The question is, what are you bringing? Because before God builds something new through us, he wants to build something new in us. As we enter our time of discussion, we've been reminded that what happens inside of us, it doesn't stay inside of us. It shows up in the room we enter, the conversations we have, the way we respond to people around us. And part of staying connected to Jesus is learning to recognize the fruit he's producing in us, but also the fruit he's producing in others. And then encourage that. And because encouragement is such a powerful thing. And it reminds me of a guy at a church that I was at. His name is Wes Holland. And we called Wes the minister of awesome. Because whenever he noticed something good that you were doing or saying, he would tell you. He made it his life's goal to be like, hey, you are being awesome. Like he would be like, Becky, you are awesome at asking questions. Deb, you are awesome at listening to people. Like Angela, you are awesome at going the extra mile. I mean, he was like the guy from the Lego movie. Like everything for him was awesome. And the thing is, his encouragement became infectious. And pretty soon, it changed the whole culture of the church. So today, what I want to do is, in this time, I want to encourage you to be ministers of awesome. I want you to be an encouragement to someone else and tell them how much they mean to you and why. So here's how we're going to do it. I want you to think about someone you know. Or multiple someones. If it's like 5-10 people, that's great. Preferably non-staff, because we don't need like 200 people lining up around Lindsay. But like people in this room who consistently make it a better place. And think about, like, what about them do you appreciate? What do they bring with them to change the atmosphere? And don't feel like this has to be like super complicated and poetic. Like, they're encouraging. They listen instead of reacting. They refuse to participate in gossip. They make peace instead of keeping it. They bring more faith or patience or hope. What is it about them? And once you figure that out, I'm going to ask you to do something a little radical. I want you to be like Wes, and I want you to go and tell them. So I would love it if you got up and you went and just had the opportunity to say it to them. But for those of you who are like, that's a little bit crazy. I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. Take time. Write them a note. Use the time to send them a text. Give them a call. But just pick one or two things. One or two things you see in them. And take time to be an encouragement. And let them know their fruit is making a difference in this room. Now, before we get to that, I have two more things I need to address with the youth. So, real quick, we're done with the game right now. So anything I say past this does not count towards your totals. Backstory for the rest of you. So this week, I was explaining the sermon and my poo analogy to Mary. And she was like, you remember the youth are in the service, right? And I was like, of course I did. And so then I had this idea to help the youth remain engaged. I call it the poo counter. The poo counter. You're killing me here. There we go. No. Oh, you got too early. Okay, never mind. Okay, now it's going down. Okay, so throughout the sermon, the youth have been counting the amount of times that I've said the word poo. But also, to make this a little more spiritual, because you're like, that's ridiculous. When they go upstairs, they have to answer the question, what's poo got to do with it? So that's for the rest of you. They have no clue what that is. But before they leave, I'm going to need a drum roll, as we reveal the winners of the poo counter. So the official grand total for the poo counter today is 13. All right, you guys get a sticker. I don't know, whatever it is. So second thing, you are dismissed. Go up, have fun. Make sure you have your answers. What's poo got to do with it? You are dismissed. For the rest of you, if we can go back to the other thing. We'll go back to the other thing. The rest of you have your encouragements that I want you to do, so we're going to take a little bit of time, do that, and then we'll continue on in worship.